It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? I love the study of the precious Word and love having you folks along as we do it today. And we're in Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 through 16. If you'd open your Bibles, I'd love for you to follow along. Again, Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 through 16. Same verses we read last week. I would love to share with you as well, while you're looking that up, that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church, and we're located in Hamilton, Illinois. We're at 18th and Church Street. And if you come to the Dairy Queen, most folks are familiar with that on 136, come to the Dairy Queen and turn north one block, and you'll find us. And we'd love to see you. If you'd like to drop us a card, we'd love to hear from you. It's just a joy as we do have many folks that have corresponded with us concerning listening to the program. We'd love to hear from you. Love for you to share any prayer requests that you have. Love to hear that you've come to know the Lord Jesus and you're saved. So many things. And please that you feel free to get a hold of us, to contact us. Now, if you have your Bibles open, I would love to read Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 through 16, and please follow along if you can. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and disputing, that ye may be blameless, harmless sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Let's go to the Lord in prayer before we begin the study today. Father, I ask you that you would just touch every listener's ears, that they may hear your word this morning, your precious word, that we stay so closely to the truth, and we know that when we stay upon the truth, the power will penetrate not only to the ears, but right on down to the heart. And I ask, Father, that you will touch the heart of every listener, that they will do what you want them to do. Very possibly, Father, they need to be saved. They need to realize they're a sinner and they're lost and need to come by faith to Jesus and ask you into their heart. If that be the case, Father, I ask that this be the day. Today is the day of salvation, so please, Lord, that you would touch their heart. Maybe there's a burden there, a heartache. We know, Father, we know from experience that you're the healer. You can heal physically if you choose to, and you can heal spiritually, mentally. Father, we know that you made us, you've created us, and so you can sure repair us in any way that needs to be. And so if there's a heartache and a broken heart, whatever it might be, Father, a broken family, I ask you that you take your word and repair it today. It's just a joy to serve you. It's a joy to be a Christian. And I ask, Father, that you'll just lead us as we study your word today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week, we discussed the always obeyed. We covered many things last week. We covered things concerning the problem of being many spirits out there. Now, there is only one Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Only one true Spirit. We have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. There are many false spirits out there. Satan is out to deceive, to direct us away from the true and only true Spirit, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. And so we have many things that's going on. Now, in the opening prayer today, I said, you know, that God can heal you physically. And He can. But, my friend, God does it at His own time. And, you know, if you go to a healing service or something like that, all the attention is put upon the man. Oh, yes, they say that God's done it and in Jesus' name and those things. Well, I want you to understand very carefully that I believe God heals. But God heals upon His own time, and many times God chooses, for a reason of growth, He chooses not to heal. And so when you go into a healing service or something like that, God never advertises that I'm going to heal. God just does it when it's His time. And so we need to be very careful to stay away from folks that fill our pockets more than filling you with the presence of the Lord Jesus. And I just ask you to be very careful. And it says here, always obeying. So you ask the question, how can we always obey? The week before that, we discussed at length the work out your own salvation. We were very careful there to explain that when you come to Jesus Christ as your Savior, that is a free gift that God gives you, and it's a God-given gift. It's God's grace that allows us to be saved. But it is a decision that we just turn. To repent means to turn. You need to turn unto the Lord. There's nothing good inside us, nothing desiring to be of God or to be like God or to be good even. There's nothing inside us that's good. And so for us to just to reverse by the calling and the pulling of the power and the presence of God in our life, which comes through His Word. So you see why I keep coming back always to the truth, to the Word of God. I don't want you reading other books. I want you to stay upon the Word of God and study and search the Word of God. Too many times we get sidetracked with other things and we lack the knowledge and wisdom of God because we lack studying His Word and staying upon the truth. So many churches today, so many places that they call and say they come to worship, they are doing things completely, so totally contrary to the Word of God. And yet they still call it a church. They still say they have Bible study. They have worship service. They have all those things that appear to be that a Christian should be a part of. And yet it is not biblical. It's not God-centered. And it cannot be God's. And the reason it's not God-centered is because it's not centered upon the Word of God. It's centered upon some man as he has adjusted or changed folks' way of their opinion. And people make up their mind by what they hear someone else say, not what the Holy Spirit tells you. Now let me go very quickly. When you come to the Lord Jesus, the day you meet Jesus is the day that you are saved. You are born again. That day, that minute, that second, the Holy Spirit comes, the only true Spirit, comes to live within your heart. Now, upon His presence in your heart, now you have the joy of studying the Word of God as each and every Christian, born-again believer, has that same opportunity to open up the Bible and to study it. Now, we need to be, again, the reason we get so sidetracked so quickly is because we have found and caught ourselves in studying man's writings and not the Word of God. I want you to see the truth, the Word of God, and I want you to establish your beliefs, establish your doctrine. And I hope that's the doctrine of your church, that every doctrine is set upon the Word of God, not upon some man's opinion of what it should mean. The Word of God is simple. The Word of God is clear. And if you have the Holy Spirit within your heart to teach you, you stay in the Word of God and it'll show you. And He gives us the local church to come together to fellowship over the Word of God, to again grow together then. It's great to do that. Please don't get sidetracked and don't sit there with your eyes on a man listening to him and you keep your nose out of the Word of God, because you'll be in trouble. You'll be fooled and you'll be tricked. Don't let that happen. Stay upon the Word of God, always obeying, and then also concerning working out your own salvation was the week before. And it's so much fun to study the Word of God and look through those verses. And again, 2 weeks ago we had that. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it today. I don't want to spend much time today on always obeying. But the only way you can always obey is, first of all, come to Jesus, ask Him into your heart to save you because you're a sinner and you're lost. Always obey. That's the first command. The next command, of course, is to follow the Lord in baptism. And each time through the Word of God, and people have turned that around. They have baptism as an infant. You can't do that. The only time you should be baptized is after you've been saved, born again. That's a decision that you need to make. He calls you. You accept or reject. If you accept, the Holy Spirit comes to live within your heart, and you become a believer in Jesus Christ, a Christian. Got nothing to do with church membership, does it? No, you should join yourself with a local church that preaches the truth and the Word and begin to serve. But until that time that you have become a child of God, a born-again believer, a Christian, you don't know what I'm talking about. You don't understand. But here now, to always obey, that's the first decision you need to do. You need to listen to Jesus and be saved. Now next, then you need to listen to His Word. By studying His Word, the Holy Spirit will direct you. And I ask that you stay in His Word. Don't let anybody sidetrack you from staying in His Word. Always obeying. Now, we have those words of fear and trembling. Always obeying with fear and trembling. You know, it's exciting to walk after the Lord Jesus. It's exciting to be in the Word of God. But I'm telling you, folks, we need to understand how serious it is. That we must with great diligence, we need to set our hearts upon staying in the Word of God, upon the truth. People take that responsibility so lightly. They are willing at many times, willing to hand that responsibility over to someone else, that they can search the Scripture. And most of the time, sad to say, it's given to the teacher or to the deacons or elders, whatever you might have, or your church board, or the pastor. Those people are given to the responsibility of studying the Word. Then they tell you what it's all about. I believe Him, and off we go. Yes, that is their responsibility. But your responsibility is follow up what they say and see that what they say confirm it in the Word of God. And if they're contrary to the Word of God, then you need to have a leadership change. You need to preach that Jesus saves. You need to preach that Jesus keeps. You need to preach that Jesus is a wonderful life. You need to talk about it all the time. In New Testament or Old, doesn't matter. Always obeying. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. We're going to talk about that a little bit further here. You know, and as we come to the begin the 13th verse, the most wonderful part that we start on last week was down the 16th verse, and I want to keep bringing that to you. Holding forth the Word of Life. That's a responsibility of a believer, to hold forth the Word of Life, the Gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection. Now keep that in mind as we study through this. Now, we have one little part in 12 before we hit 13. We spent almost 2 weeks now in verse 12, and we still have a little further to go, and that is always obeying in my presence and also in my absence. And he even says much more in my absence. And, you know, the question begins, and that is, why are you serving? Now, we have come across the bridge. We have taken care of the situation with your soul, and I hope you have. It's an individual. Nobody can do it for you. You have to realize, recognize by the Word of God being proclaimed. You need to recognize the Holy Spirit will touch your heart and show you, convict you, and show you that you're a sinner and you're lost, and you need to be saved. And when you come to that point and you're saved, you come to that point and you say, please, Jesus, I recognize in my heart. I know I'm lost. I know I need to be saved. Would you please come into my heart and save me? When you've been saved, then this walk begins. Well, the walk begins and you're watching maybe the pastor or maybe the church leadership. And the problem comes is that you follow them. There's nothing wrong with following them as long as they are following the truth. But if they are not following the truth, then you too are getting directed the wrong way. And so that's the reason I plead with you and I ask you to get your Bible out, dust it off. And many times that's truthful to you, isn't it? That you have to dust that old Bible off. You need to get that Bible out, dust it off, open it up, and begin reading the precious Word of God. Now again, it's important to be in a church where you can come together. Then we have services on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night that you can come and study the Word together. And you go home and read it further. Enjoy. Let that Holy Spirit teach you. But now as you grow, those things have taken place. Now that you're growing, it's time to begin serving. However long you've been saved, whatever gifts God has given you, He has given you at least one God-given gift. He has given you the local church. Now it's time to get to work. It's time to serve. And the question comes, why are you serving? Are you serving because of the joy that Jesus has put in your heart? Because He, without, before anyone, and no one even has ever lived that deserves to be saved. But for us to have that precious gift of salvation given to us free, and all the cost was handled, was borne by the Lord Jesus. Every part of that cost was His. It was His life. It was Jesus that came from heaven. It was Jesus that lived here on earth 33 years. It was Jesus that was spit upon and beaten and ridiculed. It was Jesus that went to the cross. It was Jesus that, before He got to the cross, that faced a mock trial, an unfair trial. You know, Jesus will also at a time be our judge. And if you choose not to come to Jesus, He will judge you. And unlike the judges that judged Him and condemned Jesus to die on the cross, Jesus will be a perfect judge. And you should fear that. He knows everything you have done, said, been involved in. Unless you come to Jesus and get those sins covered with His blood, you're going to face the judge. Now, Jesus paid it all. He paid the full debt. He came, died, went into the grave, was in that grave 3 days and three nights, the Word tells us. But then that grave was opened on a Sunday morning, and that Sunday morning we found Him not to be there. He had risen. He's alive. That was a report that went out throughout all of Jerusalem. He's alive. He has risen. All those things the Son of God did for you and for me that we can live. We deserve none of that. That's why we should be serving Him. That's why we should spend so much time sharing the Word of God, building up and helping other believers. Because Jesus paid it all. But the question comes again, why? Why are you serving? Are you serving so people can see you? It tells here again in verse 12, in my presence only, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. And the beginning of that was always obey. Please always obey. Now I'm saying obey the Word of God. Obey the truth. Stay in the Word of God. You say, I do, Larry. I know the Word of God. I stay in the Word of God. I'll just ask you a simple question. How much time each day do you spend in the Word of God? If you don't spend a half hour or an hour at a minimum each day, spending time with Him, studying His Word, you don't know what I'm talking about. If you tote your Bible to church on Sunday morning, that's the only time you ever open it up, you have no idea what I'm talking about concerning obeying the will of God. We must obey the Word of God. Always listening to His will. And the only way you can do that is through He's given us His complete, perfect Word, the Bible. That's our rule book, our textbook, our guide, and by and through the Holy Spirit, this book is alive. It's alive to every believer. You see and understand the joy that I have in the Word of God? Why are you serving? Are you doing things around the church so people can see you? Do you always want someone to recognize what you're doing? And I don't care what it is. There is 100 different things, 1,000 different things that need to go on around the church so the church opens the doors and closes the doors and it's able to open them again. For the Sunday school classes to have teachers, so the Sunday school classes are prepared and ready, so the building and the facility looks nice indoors and out. There's so much work that needs to be taken care of on a daily basis so that we can come together in this case, three times a week, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night here. Tuesday afternoon, we have a ladies' Bible study. The opportunity to come to study the Word together with other believers. What a great opportunity. Whatever you're involved in, whatever you're doing that keeps you away from that, whatever, if your church doesn't have that, if they just have Sunday morning, get Sunday night started, get Wednesday night started, so you come together with other believers. If they don't want to, come here. Or find another preaching, Bible preaching church that stands on the Word of God that you can go and study the Word of God many times through the week. And if you've got an opportunity to do that and you're not taking it, you have replaced something with it. You have replaced something with the time that you were with other believers studying the Word. You've changed your schedule for whatever reason. And you say, I've got to do this. Maybe it's work. Maybe it's something else that you've changed. Maybe it's just plain pleasure and you've got lazy. I need you to awaken to the Word of God. And I need you back in the house of God Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Not for my own presence and pleasure. Maybe it's not even to this church that you need to attach yourself back to those times of fellowship and times of study. But you need to get back. And if you're not there, and if you have filled your life with something besides the study of that Word, at those opportunities your church has, it's sin. It's just that simple. You wonder why you have trouble. You wonder why you don't have the joy of the Lord. It's because you're forsaking the assembling. You've made a choice. You have openly committed sin. I bet you didn't think of it that way, did you? My friend, as we look here, whether it be in my absence or in my presence, we must always obey. Again, do you do things around the church so people can see you? Or are you one of those sweet, sweet saints that come in, never know, never hear, never see whether it's a part of what's going on as far as the activities and things that are happening, and yet you sit there and you look at those sweet times. You look at those wonderful times that nobody knew what you did. Nobody knew what was going on. And yet you were still there. You were still so faithful to be there, to clean the floor, to mow the yard, to so many things. Maybe you're one of those sweet prayer warriors that you go to your prayer closet after you've spent time in the Word of God, and you spend hours in prayer. Nobody knows it. Nobody stands behind the pulpit and says, oh, thank you, brother or sister, for all that time of prayer that you've spent so that we can meet this missionary's needs, or that this dear brother or this dear sister that was injured or sick or had problems with the family or whatever it might be, that I was faithful to pray for them. No one knows that. No one knows the time that you spend in the Word of God. God does. So I'm asking you, why you serve? Why do you serve? Do you serve to please God? Now, maybe you'll understand a little bit more when it says, work out your own salvation. It's not that you're working to be saved. It's working out a gift that God has given you. A free gift that's been handed to you. And you're saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you. And you're doing it in service. Remember James? I'm going to show you my faith. I'm going to show you what I believe by my works. Not that people can see them, but my actions, my life, my works. Not that someone can come and say, boy, that looks great, and I'm sure appreciative of you for doing that and everything that goes along with that. No. But there's got to be something coming from you. There's got to be something coming from you. The next verse of Scripture here says, for it is God who worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. It's a work. Let's read that again. Verse 13. For it is God who worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. You know, the work that we do, we need to understand, if we study his word, if we stay in the truth, it is God who works in you. Any work that comes from you, it is because God is working in you. Again, work out your salvation. Do everything you can do so that we can say at the end, as in verse 16, I have not run in vain nor labored in vain. The work is a work that God can do in you and through you, but only if you stand upon the Word of God, His truth. Everything hinges on that. I can't tell you enough times that yes, you need to be saved and come to Jesus, but I want you to not only be a believer in Jesus Christ, I want you to be a servant. I want you to be so busy at studying the Word of God and listening to the Holy Spirit to direct you and what you're to do, and then quickly to obey, quickly to respond, that you can enjoy the power and the presence of God every day from here on out. But the only way that's going to happen, the only way the fullness of being a Christian can come to you, it's already there, but you have to surrender. It's just like people say they want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You get all the Holy Spirit the day you're saved. The day you're saved, the Holy Spirit comes to live within your heart. The day you're born again, that happens. You get all of it. The only problem is that there's so much of you left that there has got to be a lot of surrendering come before you'll feel and have the presence that'll respond and come from you. It's all there, but I'll admit to you there's not much presence of it, and it can't be because there's too much of you and too much of me in the road. Once you and me get out of the road, now we're back to getting out of our will and getting into the will of God. Get out of our will into God's will. When that happens, when we can do that, when we can take that, then the fruit of the Spirit, we become a fruit-producing Christian, a fruit-producing believer. When you are full of the Holy Spirit, now, that again happens the day you meet Jesus, but when you are controlled by the Word of God, by the Spirit of God, you will be a fruit-producing Christian. Now you think, okay, now I'm going to be able to speak in tongues. Now I'm going to be able to lay my hands on someone and heal them. No. No. Those were special gifts that were given to the apostles. And those special gifts stayed with the apostles. You will receive the fruit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. That's what's going to happen the day that you surrender to Jesus. For it is God who worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. He has a work to do in your life. He has a work to do in your heart. But my friend, you're going to have to surrender your heart to him. Your will to him. And that comes through the study of his word. That's a work that he wants to do in your life. Again, your work, if it's a God-blessed work, will be a work that he is working out from you because your will has surrendered to his. My friend, we're out of time so quickly. What are you going to do about Jesus?